I try not to repeat some of the things that I said in the first service because I know two of them who have already heard me. But some of the things, definitely I'll be repeating it. So bear with me. In Indian culture, in India, I don't know whether I told you when I came last time, we don't have, commonly we don't have love marriages. It's all arranged marriages. The parents will see for the boy and for the girl. So we don't have that burden of going and searching for a girl or boy, you know. They take the burden of going and searching for a boy or girl. It has various, for doing so, various reasons are there because our culture has been divided into various communities, caste. We call it as caste, C-A-S-T-E. So, and communities, so people would like to get married with their same caste, and economy also plays the class also plays a role. And also they see how good the boy or girl, you know, they see, and then we get married. Most of the marriages, even today I would say, a lot of Indians who come, stay here, go back to that place, find a girl and marry and come back. So any Indian boy, you know, who's about to get married, if you ask that person, how do you want a girl? What kind of girl that you want to marry? The people ask the boy or the girl. Particularly the boy is given more attention. What kind of girl that you want to get married? The boy will usually say, I would say 9 out of 10 boys would say, I want a girl like my mother. That's what they say. I want a girl like my mother. Why? Because she will take care of me. She will know everything before I could think of, you know, what I eat, what I listen to, what I do. So every Indian boy, 9 out of 10 would say, I want a girl who is like my mother. So same interest I also had when I got married. So when I got married, it's been almost 20 years, 19 years ago, and so I got married, and after that, the night, morning I got up, because we expect, right, mom will come and give coffee, bed coffee, I'll be sleeping, she'll come and wake me, come on, like, get up, and she gives a coffee, and I'll drink on my bed, take the coffee, drink, so this is the usual thing we do. So I got up in the morning, it was already late, no coffee, nothing, so I was looking for Susan, my wife, and she was going that side. She was moving from one room to the other. So I said, Susan, my coffee. And she said, Clive, sorry, I don't drink coffee. And I didn't know what to do. See, I understood what she was trying to say. I don't drink coffee. Better you make your coffee on your own. Or, you know, don't disturb me. That's what she said. I thought that day, how am I going to live this life? Should I have to live this with this woman all through my life? Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. That was the thing that I thought. I told her also, and it's been 19 years, and it's almost 20 years. Sometimes, world in this in which we live is something that you have to put up with, something that you have to get used to it, something that you need to know how to survive, something you need to make it possible that you and I understand each other, accept each other, allow one another's interest, help one another, and try to make it a better place so that everybody can survive. Everybody have the opportunity to live. Everybody can use everything that has been provided by God in this world. It is not the matter of, you know, our intelligence, our gifts, our talents, our influences, Everything that we hold in this life, our good health, doesn't mean that someone doesn't have the authority or right to live here. Everybody have to live together. God has provided this. In the famous novel, Charles Dickens, in the Tale of Two Cities during the French Revolution, says, "It is the best of times, it is the worst of times. It is the age of wisdom, it is the age of foolishness. It is the epoch of belief, it is the epoch of incredulity. It is the season of light, it is the season of darkness. It is the spring of hope, it is the winter of darkness, despair. Everything is here, nothing is here. Everybody is going directly to heaven, everybody is going directly to hell." Which means everything is poised in this world equally, good and bad, right and wrong. Everything is presented in this world. We have the good, we have the best, we have everything of this world. And equally, we have the worst. We have everything that can go against us. So the world is filled with it. In this parable, Jesus is talking about something very uniquely. I would say one of the very difficult parables that we could really interpret or reflect on among all the parables that Luke has presented in his gospel. Here Jesus is talking about something very uniquely. We need to understand Jesus never wanted to preach. He wanted to teach. In today's world, I think we don't need any more preaching. Nothing is happening. There is no change. There is no transformation. Better we teach ourselves. Jesus was teaching people from the facts of their life. Here we see the age of deception. He is talking about a certain age, the period, the time. That's why he says the sons of this age and the sons of this light. Sons of this age are the people of this context. And he is talking about the kingdom of God. When we look at other parables and teachings in the gospel, or the message of Jesus in the gospel is all about the kingdom of God. And when we particularly look at this parable, we see how Jesus is presenting the facts. Parables are mostly allegorical, but here we understand Jesus is talking about something that he really knows. Or somebody whom have witnessed something like this, he wanted to teach out of it. Or something is that people are going through in that context. So instead of making up something that he already has heard about those things, he is presenting what he has gone through or what he has seen in others. So this parable is about, he is teaching to the disciples, but we understand the crowd is also with him. The crowd has not moved away. The sinners or Pharisees, the tax collector, everybody is around him. But he is particularly teaching to disciples. And he knows others also will hear about it. So in this understanding, I'm putting it really a little different in the sense to understand or understand in this context. The observation that we get from this parable. What is the observation? This parable cannot be said that Jesus is supporting the shrewd, the manager, the steward, or is he supporting the kind of acts that they are doing here? Or we could not say that Jesus is just saying this is what you have to do it. So it is better to see the parable in the eyes of Jesus, in the understanding of Jesus. So we need to observe this parable to understand what he actually wants to say. And here he says the context, the system, the unjust system that he is talking about. He is not telling the rich man is wrong. or right. He's not telling the manager is right or wrong, or the debtors who are receiving what is good for them, right or wrong. He's not talking about. He's talking about everything that is right and wrong in it. So when we observe it, we see the unjust system that is functioning in our context. Very reactive. I was telling this, in Eden Seminary, please, I hope nobody is from Eden Seminary or have no connection there. Don't go and tell that this fellow talked about Eden. Then they will not allow me to, visit them too. So when I was doing my doctorate there, I was staying in the apartment, the block. We have few blocks, right? Three or four blocks. And one of the blocks, a girl reported, one of the students reported that her bike is missing. Her bike is missing. And immediately 2 days' time, we had the fob and key to enter into anywhere in Eden, any building we can get in with our fob and key, move around. And in 2 days' time, everything was taken away. We cannot enter into other blocks. We have the only thing, we can enter the main building as well as our block. All was blocked. What I'm saying is very reactive. We do not know whether the bikes were stolen, whether it was missing, or somebody inside the block has taken. What has gone wrong? Nothing we know. Reactive. Very much I see in our context, very reactive. Something happens, we go firm on it. Yes, this is wrong. Make rules, put some restrictions, and get them into it. So we see here the rich man comes and asks, what is this that I hear about you? He is not, the fact here is, we are not sure whether he really know this manager has done wrong or not, but he is going by what he heard, what he just heard, and immediately wanted to go by the rules and do things. So the system that is given to us, we need to understand it has to be seen from others' point of view than from my point of view. What is safe for me? What is good for me in the future? What is that I hold today that I could secure? Everything is focused on tomorrow. Future should be safe. Future should be secured. Future should not have any doubts. So I secure it. So the system is based on that. It's not just about money or anything, the possession that I would say. Here, the second thing that we see here is the opportunity. What we see here is the manager who has done the unfaithful steward. He has done some misappropriation and he has been caught. That's what he feels. And he wanted to live his life. He is looking for the future. What will I do? My job is gone. And how do I live in this life? Where would I shelter myself? It is not basically we think about a structure, a physical structure, but it is connectivity with the people. How do I live in this context? So he makes it something so that people who are in need can be helped. So the debtors and the landowner, the rich man. So he is trying to do something for these people. What do you have to do? He's asked the first person, the 100 jars of olive oil, okay, make it 50. What do you have to do? 100 containers of wheat, okay, make it 80. So he's giving some discount, helping them a big thing so that they accept him, making it all right with something that is not right, using that. But what Jesus interestingly says is, in the words of the rich man, he is wise. And also he is comparing and saying, be wise like them. The sons of the age are more wiser. So the sons of the light have to be wise enough to make friendship with these people. We need to understand who are our friends. Do we have the bad people? Do they have friends of others? Or do we have the friends of others? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Can we make friends of the people who are friends of bad people, who get benefit out of bad people. Are we friends? If we are not, then we are not so shrewd. That's what Jesus is telling. Make friendship with them. Do something. Whatever you have, extend to them and help them to have it. So that is what the opportunity that is here. This manager is able to use that opportunity to make it correct, at least to extending that goodness to others. In today's context, what are the opportunities that we have? We have to use it, good or bad. The king of Nineveh, when he heard only 40 days are there remaining, he went on a fasting. When Samson knows that he is going to die, he wanted to bring the town down. We see the Bible characters, how they use even the king Nebuchadnezzar in the Daniel context. We see mene mene takal, your days are numbered. Once he heard that his days are numbered, he was extending his goodness to others. The opportunity that is given to us. And the third thing that we need to see here is, I am putting it in a different way, obedience, because we need to be faithful to something. What makes us good in this context, right in this context, it is, as I told you, the world is filled with something, determined on something else, money, possession, talent, and all those things are given here. But it is in Christ we need to have that obedience. It is in Christ that we need to rely on, because the context is going to be unreasonable. People are always going to be there. The victimized are going to be there. The people who are pushed to the corner of the society will be there, and they are going to be there. But how are we going to be obedient in using our resources, using our possessions, in extending that to others? You know, when God created Adam and Eve, when they sinned, God comes and asks, you know, Adam, what did you do? Adam said, God, I'm sorry, I didn't do it, but the woman you gave made me to do it. He didn't say, he said, the woman. And God says, Eve, why did you do it? And he said, God, I didn't do it. The serpent did it. They play innocence. That point, they should have said, Lord, I've done something wrong. Please forgive me. Instead, they started to blame each other. Probably that would have ended there if Adam and Eve would have said, sorry, we've done something wrong. Please forgive us. But they didn't do that. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't ask for repentance. Rather, they were trying to play the innocence. This age is an age of deception. It makes everything right and wrong. But only thing that can make us relevant in this unjust context, in this unwilling people, crowded with unwilling people, reluctant to change, it is to include the unreasonable people who have been sent to the corner of the society to be included in this celebration to become more meaningful. We need to depend on Christ. Be faithful to him and continue to walk in him. We are the sons of the light because we know the light. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.